Hey everyone, welcome to episode 56 of Sits and Giggles. I am your host Casey, and I am joined as always by Krista. How you doing, Krista?
Not too bad. So before we get started here, I just would like to point out that Pittsburgh's resident Jabba the Hutt.
Oh my God.
Decided to try to randomly found himself into my Twitter mentions. I have no clue how. Don't follow the guy. Have him muted. Like, don't understand that. Finds his way into the mentions. So I, you know, tweet. Mine should kindly, can Mark mine kindly hop the fuck out of my mentions because I don't fuck with him. And lo and behold, of course, you know, Mark Madden being Mark Madden, if anybody is familiar, decides he's going to try to attack me by going after the podcast, which I kind of thought was funny. So apparently we're only listened to by 8 to 10 people, so shout out to those 8 to 10.
Joke's on him because it's double that.
Yes, and apparently we're award-winning, according to him, guys. I don't know what award we won, Casey, but congratulations.
Man, joke's on him, because I don't give a shit what he thinks.
Like, that's the other thing, like,
I don't follow him, I don't pay attention to him, I don't, like, really respect his opinion on anything, like, don't really care what Mark Madden thinks of us. Kind of, matter of fact, I'm kind of honored that, like, he insulted us, because that just means that we're doing something right.
Exactly. Like, joke you, man. And I don't care how many listeners we have, as long as they enjoy listening and Casey and I enjoy recording, Siths and Giggles is going to be a thing. So,
this is, like, one of the times during every week I look forward to, so.
Yep, pretty much. So, joke's on you, Mark Madden.
Fuck you, Mark Madden.
Fuck you, Mark Madden.
All right, so we are following up last week's Anakin episode with the logical next step, which is Darth Vader. Darth, there's obviously a lot to unpack with Vader, just like there was with Anakin. One of the things that I found myself thinking this week as I was thinking about this episode was, like, I don't know where the cutoff is between Anakin and Vader. Like, if you had asked me at the beginning of the Disney era, where's that cutoff? I would have said, like, shortly after Revenge of the Sith. But as we get more and more Vader content, and we've gotten a ton of Vader content in the Disney era, I find myself thinking that, like, Anakin never really went away. He was always there in the background, just kind of like trying to scratch his way to the forefront of Vader's mind.
I know I had mentioned to you yesterday that I was having a Star Wars conversation with a couple of my coworkers. And, you know, we really, that I wish you could have been a part of it because it was hysterical. And at some point in it, you know, after, okay, here we go, yes. So at some point, my friend Colleen, so shout out to Colleen. That's all she wants in life is to be shouted out on the podcast.
Hi, Colleen.
Colleen has never seen Star Wars. She's never seen ever. She went, her dad took her to see Phantom Menace when she was a kid in theater, and she fell asleep. Well, for her birthday, she received a Darth Vader onesie that she wore to work. And she perpetually refers to Star Wars as a Star War, like, no matter what. Like, I sent them a picture, like, Ralph from The Simpsons. I sent them a picture of something yesterday, and in the background, you could see on my TV that I was watching Clone Wars. So it all prompted when she was like, I see a Star War in the background. But it slowly devolves into talking about it, and they're trying to figure out why Colleen calls it a Star War. She was talking about how it refers to one war. There are nine wars, and I'm correcting her because that's incorrect, Colleen. And it perpetually continues. And then my friend Carrie interjects, and she goes, "There's actually no war. It's just a father going to any length to reconnect with the two children he gave up birth following the death of his baby mama." Corrected them that A, that it was actually his wife, not baby mama. Baby mama carries more weight. And we started talking about how it's a soap opera in space. But ultimately, Carrie brings up a really good point. She's like, plot twist, Anakin has serious mental conditions, including but not limited to bipolar, anxiety, and multiple personalities. And that honestly is one of the best examples of a way to describe Anakin as multiple personality disorders. Because it is, it's like you're right, he does have almost two personalities. There's Vader, and then there's times that we saw, like in the massive amount of comics we've received in the Disney era, where it's very clearly Anakin, and it's not Vader. And they flip between the two almost in a way that is very fluid. So it almost kind of makes sense that eventually, like, he never really lost Anakin. He never really stopped being Anakin. It was like you said, Anakin's just now in the background. It was no longer the dominant personality, if you would. Like, in order to for him to justify and come to terms with everything he did, it's almost like he was like, okay, well, that's not Anakin, that's Darth Vader. He almost created another person to justify, to hide behind, to say that that was not Anakin Skywalker who did those things, it was Darth Vader who did those things.
And I think George Lucas's original intent was that
Casey, you are really low.
I think, can you hear me now?
No, you're still really low. It's your mic too. I just turned up my headset.
Give me a second. Is that any better? Sorry.
You're okay.
Okay. What about now?
No change.
What about now?
Nope.
Are you sure it's my mic and not your headset?
Yes.
Okay. Give
There you
me
go. You're better a little bit there.
there. How about now?
A little bit better, yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so I think that it was George Lucas's original intent that they would have like two separate distinct personalities. Like, I don't think that Obi-Wan was bullshitting Luke when he said that, like, the man who was your father ceased to be Anakin Skywalker and became Darth Vader. Like, I don't think that that
Yes.
was a lie. But
Agreed.
I do think that Anakin Skywalker hung around a lot longer than anyone realized. And like, evidence for that is that any Disney story that we've seen from Vader, where it focuses in on Vader, so like, not Lords of the Sith, where like it's him and Palpatine like fighting a rebellion. Not like Target Vader, where like the bounty hunters are trying to capture Vader, but like Charles Soule's like Vader run, like Kieran Gillen's Vader run, Greg Pak's Vader run, like any run that like focuses in on the character of Darth Vader, there is something there with him and Padme. There is something that focuses in on him trying to either make up for what happened to Padme or trying to like do something that like restores like Padme's legacy. Like Padme is always there because Anakin like never left Vader. He's always there. Like there is no cutoff because Anakin never, I don't think Anakin ever truly leaves Vader.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that aspect. I also kind of find it really apt and accurate that, like, the one thing that I guess that kind of is still keeping Anakin around is still, it's Padme, still. Like, she's kind of what, you know, keeps him from fully succumbing and fully becoming Darth Vader.
And it just, like, it spirals out of control for him when he learns that he has a son.
Pretty much. I mean, that's how better to atone for, you know, what happened to her than to save her children. I mean, like, yes, that's his son and everything and he is, but, like, that's also a direct link to Padme.
See, I think that's where
you're muted.
Okay, so like that's where, sorry, I'm just having so many issues tonight. Okay, so that's where it kind of veers off for me, because when he finds out he has a son, I don't think that his immediate thought is like, this is Padme's child. I think his thought is like, this is my child. Which is why, yeah, like, which is why, like, Greg Pak's Vader run right now is focusing in on him seeking revenge for everyone that made Luke weak. Or in his mind, Luke is weak, and he's seeking revenge on everyone who did that. Which is why, like, I would have loved to have seen his reaction to, like, finding out Leia was his daughter.
Leia.
Because I still think that he would have had a different reaction than he did with Luke. I think that he probably would have been more focused on, like, Padme at that point.
Agreed. I don't know. I saw a bunch of Darth Vader memes over the weekend that were great. I know people say that, you know, that the rise of Skywalker undid, you know, his sacrifice and everything. I don't feel that way, personally.
I don't think so.
I don't think it cheapens it. I mean, ultimately, he did what he intended to do with the sacrifice, which was, you know, kill the Emperor and save Luke and allow the galaxy. You know, the fall of the Empire.
I still think that, like, even though he didn't permanently destroy the Sith, he didn't permanently kill Palpatine, I still think that, like, in the end, he set it up for balance to be restored. Like, his actions brought it to the point where, like, you know, like, Palpatine is literally a shell of his former self and was, I don't know if I would say easier to destroy, but, like, he set it up for Rey to put, like, the final nail in that coffin. So I think that, like, he certainly fulfilled the prophecy. He brought balance to the Force. He was a huge part of that.
You know what, one thing kind of always bugs me, though, about the whole bringing balance to the Force type thing is that in order to achieve balance, it's the elimination of all of the dark. Like, they eliminate all of the Sith. That's their goal, to be balanced, whereas that's not actually what balance is. Like, I understand it, but I just think, like, you could have phrased it better. You could have found a better term.
Well, that's where, like, so, like, now, okay, so we can get into a discussion about, like, the nature of the Force and what the Force actually is.
I can't hear you.
You can't. Are you sure it's not your headset? Because, like, My...
You keep coming in and out. You keep coming in and out.
Okay, I'll stay close to my mic. Sorry about that. Okay, so like...
Can't go up any louder.
Okay, so like that's where we would have to get into a discussion about what the force and what the force is, because I think that... Oh, wait, hold on. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, like, George Lucas described it as, like, toxins in the blood. And, like, you achieve, like, a pH balance when you remove toxins from the blood, I think. I'm assuming. I'm not a doctor. I'm a worse doctor than, like, all of the Facebook doctors that you're seeing on your, like, Facebook timeline right now. But like, so like, it's like removing toxins from the blood. Like, the blood is the force. The toxins are the dark side. And you achieve that balance when you remove the toxins. And which is why, like, that's, I think that supports my, the argument I've always had that, like, the natural state of the force is the light. And, like, darkness is like a toxin. It's not, there's no like natural darkness. There's only light, and like darkness kind of like seeps its way in, and you have to kind of like get it away. You have to like take your force antibiotics and get the dark out.
The question is because technically I guess a pH balance is, you can have, it's literally the number 7. So you can have lower than 7 or higher than 7. In this instance, obviously you can have too much Sith. What's the other option?
No Sith.
I know, but you would still not technically have achieved balance if you have too much of the other.
It's an imperfect analogy.
I know, Casey. I'm just pulling your leg. We have to have something to talk about. We've moved on from Vader, like,
we haven't
20 minutes in. No, I know, I'm just saying.
But no, so, like, I think that's how he brought balance to the Force. He killed the Emperor. Impermanently, but still killed the Emperor. So, I just think that, like, I don't know. I think he achieved balance.
And
I would point to Anakin's words in The Rise of Skywalker, bring balance to the Force as I once did. And then, like Luke says in The Last Jedi, there was balance for a time. So,
well, I like that line too right there. I don't think balance can ever be permanent. I don't think it will ever be I don't think you could ever not have, you know, an instance where it's going to be off by some means. I don't necessarily mean by a ton, but I don't think you can ever have, like, I don't think it can ever 100% just be light for any permanent amount of time.
No, I agree with that. There'll always be darkness, even if the darkness isn't the Sith, because I don't think the Sith could ever come back at this point. But...
And I hate to use the phrase human nature, because we know not everything is humanoid in the Star Wars universe, but, like, human nature can never be good. So, like you said, exactly, if it's not the Sith, it'll be darkness and some other variation. It's inescapable.
And then someone will have to come along and bring balance to the Force again. But I think that, like, I think another thing that supports the lightness being the natural state is that when it gets too dark, the Force tries to correct itself. Like, the Force...
That's true.
It corrected itself with Anakin. It corrected itself with Rey. I think. I don't know how that goes now that we know that Rey is the daughter or the granddaughter of Palpatine. But I think, like, originally...
Or...
I think the way, like, Rian Johnson was envisioning it, the Force was trying to correct itself with Rey. So, like, much like the way... So, the Force is like your immune system, you could even say. And it's like it's fighting off like the bad things that invade your body.
Okay. I don't know, because isn't that the theory that that's what she technically is? Because I've seen... I've seen the theory is that because we don't know if his son is actually biologically his son, I think somebody said that it's alluded that he could be a failed clone.
Trying to clone Palpatine to have this vessel for him. The son that he had, quote, was a failed clone. He had no power. And, like, Palpatine was disgusted by him. Like, he couldn't even look at him. The only purpose he served was to go out into the world and fall in love and have a daughter that would hopefully be powerful enough to be Palpatine's vessel. So, like, that was his plan from the start. So, yeah, his son...
specifically a daughter?
Well, a kid. A child.
Okay. So that's weird if it was specifically a daughter.
So, like, yeah, so...
study of body dysmorphia.
Yeah, so Rey's dad was indeed a failed clone.
Okay. That's so weird.
Still has that love for Padme and everything. I think it's still important to recognize that he's still evil. Like,
100%.
Yeah, like nothing about like his love for Padme or like his pain.
Deems him.
Yeah, like his pain and his regret. Like that, nothing like takes away the fact that like he destroyed like an entire planet. He's killed like so many people in so many places. Like he killed like all the Jedi, all the younglings. Like none of that is taken away. Like he's still an evil bastard.
He was still a Jedi Padawan. He slaughtered an entire Tusken village. Like, and was an act of Jedi there. So like, yeah, nothing makes him a good person. There is no redeeming him where he's a good person. He was basically the strong man for a dictator.
He's even worse than Kylo Ren, who we've both said was, even though he was a war criminal. Even though like he turned back to the light, he was redeemed and everything, like he was still a war criminal. So like, and Vader I think was like 10,000 times worse because he had, you know, like 25 years of being a war criminal.
Yeah, like, you can't, there's, in no instance of, you know, with either Vader or Kylo Ren, was there any outcome where they were going to be able to live happily ever after. Because I can tell you right now, Leia would not give two shits that he was her father. She would still prosecute him to the fullest extent of the galactic law.
And that was something that got explored a lot in Legends. Like, Ghost Anakin appeared to her while she was still on Endor, and she's basically like, get the fuck away from me. I never want to see you ever again. And she... I don't know how she... I don't know how she feels about it in the new canon. I know she has, at the very least, mixed feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course she hates Vader, and she kind of, like, does on... She kind of, like... It was implied that she kind of gets that, like, there's that separation between Vader and Anakin, and she has... She certainly has feelings about Anakin, but she's not, like... We never got any interaction between, like, Ghost Anakin and Leia, so... We don't know if she would have completely rejected them.
Down the line in some capacity. I think that would be cool to explore.
I don't even know if the galaxy understands what happened to Vader on the Death Star. I don't even know if they understand that, like, he turned good and killed the Emperor and everything. Like,
probably not.
I mean, like, the Jedi... Like, the Jedi and the Force are so, like, mysterious to, like, everyone else in the galaxy. I don't even know if, like, they could comprehend, like, what happened there.
I mean, I get the story, like, as far as everybody else probably knew, was that he died when the Death Star exploded. Like, Luke was able to escape, and they died in the explosion.
Wouldn't that be funny if, like, Luke came back and he was like, oh, yeah, it was totally me. Like, I fought off 50 guards and I killed the Emperor and I killed Vader and I'm a total hero. Like,
oh, God.
That would
have gotten,
like,
all the babes.
That would be, like, 100%, like, a Skywalker move right there.
For sure. As I'm learning very much with watching the Clone Wars. Anakin is quite cocky.
They really let Anakin go dark in that series.
Holy shit, yes they do.
Oh, let's talk about the vision he had on Mortis.
Yes.
And why him turning to Vader was inevitable no matter what happened. Like, that was kind of like a predestined thing for him. I've got to say that is probably one of my favorite moments in any Star Wars story. And it's my favorite moment in the Clone Wars for sure.
I like how it ultimately, like, turns for the same, like, for a very similar reason as to, like, one of the reasons he turns, you know, ultimately. And Revenge of the Sith is bringing, like, stopping the war and bringing peace back to the galaxy. Like, in his own convoluted way. He still wants that as his end goal, and he's willing to do whatever's necessary to have it. Because he just turns dark instantly. Like, he has that vision, and then he's just like, the next medium, he has yellow eyes just like he has in Revenge of the Sith right before he kills the younglings.
I can't remember. The turn was like... Why did he join the Brother in the Mortis arc?
Because the Brother showed him the future and was like, you're inevitable, you're not a good person. And then... he was like... all of that happens, and he's like, you can't change it. Join me now, and, you know, that's the only way to achieve what we want to achieve without all of that having to happen. I think it might have. Your audio is doing it again.
That would, like, fit in well with the character if he turned to the dark side in order to save someone that he had a attachment to. Because he never really grasped the whole attachment is bad thing.
100%. I mean, I think we saw it with the episode in the Clone Wars season 4, episode 15, when Obi-Wan fakes his death and goes undercover. Like, Anakin's reaction at his funeral. And then when he thinks he's confronting the person. Like, how hell-bent and focused he is on revenge. And, like, he even said, like, if he had his way, he would kill him right then and there. Like, he wouldn't get justice. He wouldn't get a trial. He wouldn't go to jail. He would just be dead.
Obi-Wan probably should have figured something out at that point.
Oh, 100%. Like, there was a lot of signs.
I've always had the theory that Anakin never would have made it as a Jedi if the Clone Wars weren't going on. Like, if he... Yeah. Like, if the Jedi didn't need, like, people leading battles, like, I don't think he would have... Either he wouldn't have made it as a Jedi, or... I suppose it's possible that, like, without that kind of conflict, the darkness never came out, but... I choose to think that he would have, like, gone dark either way, because he had too much, like, emotional baggage from joining the Jedi at such an old age.
I don't necessarily agree that he would have gone dark regardless. I do agree that he wouldn't have made it in the Jedi Order. I think it was more likely that we would have seen him leave.
You think without a war, he wouldn't have felt obligated to stay and fight? Then he would have left for Padme?
Yes.
Makes sense.
Especially, I mean... Yeah, I really don't think he would have stayed. I think if given the option and there was no war, he would have left. And we kind of see that in the Obi-Wan and Anakin comic. As that's before the war really kicks off. So, and he already wants to leave because he feels he doesn't belong.
I think his attachment to Obi-Wan is what ultimately keeps him there, though. So again, attachment. Big theme in his life.
Yeah, he's not great with it.
No, he's not an emotionally mature or healthy person.
I mean, to be fair, though, it's not surprising that he has attachment issues and that he does become... overly attached to especially to people and to R2-D2 and, you know, and 3PO. Like, he was a slave. He owned nothing, really. All he had was, you know, his mother and 3PO, who he built himself. He didn't have anything else. And then enters, you know, his new family of Padme very early. She becomes, you know, He's forced to spend a lot of time with her right off the bat. Like, it's not surprising that he developed a really unhealthy infatuation. Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, like, he develops an attachment to Qui-Gon. Qui-Gon dies, so he develops that attachment even probably worse with Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
I mean, he wasn't so attached to Obi-Wan that he didn't try to kill him on Mustafar, but yeah, he has an attachment to him for sure.
Who do you think he is more attached to, Padme or Obi-Wan? I guess ultimately that's the question as to what would have gotten him out of the Order. It would have been his attachment for Padme or his attachment for Obi-Wan, the one keeping him.
I don't know. In the end, he kind of tried to kill them both.
I know, because he's not normal.
He's
not
attached
sane.
To himself, I guess. I don't know.
He wants his cake, and he wants to eat it, too.
Perfect. That's the perfect way to think of Anakin.
He wants everything, and he doesn't care what the consequences are.
You know, maybe as a result of growing up as a slave and all, and then growing up in the Jedi and always having someone like standing over you, telling you what to do, what to think, how to feel and everything. Maybe in the end, Anakin's ultimate attachment was control. Like maybe he was a control freak and
never really had it.
Never really had it. And then kind of probably felt like he had it when he turned to the dark side. And then maybe part of his regret that, like, Palpatine was just another form of control for him, and that led to his regret to turning to the dark side.
He left slavery to become a Jedi, where he's in basically a slave to the Republic and to the Jedi Order, to only turn to the dark side to become a slave of Palpatine. The one thing he did that was his own choice was to sacrifice himself.
And that's the moment he truly became free, which is why ultimately he was redeemed and was able to become one with the Force and came back as a Force ghost. So that checks out.
I just watched the slavery arc on Clone Wars, which kind of made me think of it, because the queen of the planet, I can't remember the name of the planet, Zygras, something like that, maybe?
I don't remember.
She basically said something very similar to Anakin. She assumed he was a former slave, and he said, "How did you know?" And she went on this lengthy rant about how, you know, he still is a slave, so to speak. And in a way, she was correct.
Yeah, she hit the nail on the head with that one. So, before we wrap up, I want to ask you, what's your favorite arc that you've watched so far?
The Mortis arc.
Yeah, that one's pretty incredible.
That was great.
I like that one.
I
like the Citadel one that comes right after.
I didn't dislike that one. I wouldn't say that it was super high up on my list. I actually really liked the one on Mon Cala. I liked that arc a lot.
What did you think of Bombad Jedi?
Of what? Yes.
Okay, Bombad Jedi, the one with Jar Jar, where he becomes like, he gets like the Jedi robe and like pretends to be a Jedi.
I didn't get to that yet.
Oh, you didn't get to that? I thought that was earlier in the series.
I didn't get to that yet.
Sorry.
I got to the one where he pretends to be the Gungan leader. Where he has to impersonate him meeting with the Separatists. But I haven't got to the one where he has to try to impersonate as a Jedi. That's hysterical, though, and I can't wait.
Let me know when you get to that one.
The Clone Wars has actually made me look at Jar Jar in a much less harsh light.
Same. Totally.
And the Gungans as well, because they kind of were just a joke as well in the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, they added a lot more depth to the Gungans, I think, especially Jar Jar, so... Alright, do we have anything else before we wrap this up?
That Obi-Wan has no room to judge Anakin for having, you know, a romantic fling when Obi-Wan most certainly had one himself.
Yeah, but you said it yourself, he kept his emotions in check.
He did keep his emotions in check.
And we don't know what happened.
That we know of.
That we know of.
That we know of.
Maybe...
He did imply. He literally said he would have left the order for her.
Maybe they'll explore that more in the Obi-Wan series coming out on Disney Plus in 2022.
So far away.
Yeah, but in between, we'll have another season of The Mandalorian. We'll get the Cassian show. So hyped
for a second season of The Mandalorian.
Yes.
I bought a second Baby Yoda cup.
I like that.
You've seen it. I've showed it to you. It's great.
It is great.
He's drinking his little...
I want to get... Have you seen, like, the Baby Yoda toy thing that everyone... has on Twitter right now?
No.
I'll find a picture and send it to you. It's like, it's Baby Yoda in like his little, I don't know, his bassinet, I guess you would say. It's like a plush toy, but it looks like it has like a hard plastic head, and it's so cute. Like, it's so fucking cute. I want it so bad. I would take it everywhere and tell everyone it was my baby.
Like, I'm all for finding that. I want to do the Build-A-Bear Baby Yoda too.
Well,
do want to do that?
I do want to do that. Except when I asked the one kid at Build-A-Bear when it was coming, he just laughed at me. So I would say don't hold your breath for that. Yeah, I was really pissed off. Like, I wanted to go all Anakin on him. Like, he literally laughed at my face.
That was straight up his reaction. I was shocked he did that.
He was young. He was
very naive.
I'm trying to find a picture of Baby Yoda because I want to see your reaction and I want to get it on the podcast. Like, I want to see, like, your face when you see this thing.
I'm excited.
I've seen it so many times and now, like, I can't remember who has it so I could actually... All right, I'll just have to settle with texting it for you later. All right, do you have anything else before we wrap things up?
I do not think so.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter at Darth Hockey. You can follow the podcast at Sith Giggles Pod. And Krista, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at Twitter, unless you're Mark Madden, at Critter, KRI, 3 T's, E, 3 R's.
Yes, and if you are Mark Madden, you can kindly fuck off. All right, check us out on iTunes, Spreaker.com, Google Podcasts. Everyone, thanks for listening. Bye.